Can this be the moment that David Beckham delivers the dream? England need a goal.
I was friends with Tom Cruise. I remember Tom turning around and saying, me and Will are going to throw you a party. And he's like, Will? And he said, go Smith.
You know, when you've got Tom Cruise rocking up to a restaurant, I thought he was into the whole hanging out with Tom Cruise.
Yeah. You can't beat Tom Cruise.
Okay, let's keep them to yourself.
I'm just saying, he's good looking.
He's better looking with his skin on.
He's good looking anyway, though.
Test.
Ooh, hot mic. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the podcast. It's 2 in 1 week, Bob. We're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod. You're listening to the
analysis.
So, before we dive in, we are about to head to Vegas, my friend.
Vegas, baby!
Double down. You look like money. You look like the bomb. I want to do more swingers. I want this to be more swingers than Hangover. That's my
100%. Yeah, no, I mean, there's beautiful babies out there.
Beautiful,
you know,
babies.
We're money. We don't even know
you
it.
You look like money. You don't even know it. Which one of us is Vince Vaughn, and which one of us is Sad John Favreau?
I think we've both been each
at one point
throughout our lives. I remember the I'm in a bad place era.
Yeah.
That's definitely the Favreau.
Mm-hmm, that was
I'm kind of
Favreau
on a
eating the salami kind of on the floor in my own filth.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of an ideas guy. I kind of go back and forth between. I've definitely left a girl too many messages on a phone. I mean, that's just so the cringiest moment in film. I think we both have a little bit of both in us.
Okay. But I was the one teaching you at the bar some pickup moves that you used to success.
Great
so
success.
That was my Vince Vaughning on you.
I think you might be more Vince Vaughn than I have throughout the years. But definitely the you're only in town for the weekend. How are we supposed to fall in love?
Yeah, there you go. Good
just
line.
A great panty dropper. Great line. I can't wait to be at like a packed club, bar, pool, and just be like, yeah, this place is dead anyway.
Yeah. So we're going for my bachelor party, man. Las Vegas. Vegas, baby. My first time going. And so
looking forward to it. We're going to be the podcast will be live and in living color in a few moments here. I hope you got your base coat down.
Got the base.
I've got one here, actually. It's bartender Bex.
Yeah, there's the transition we needed. That's professional right there. So Matt is drinking a Bex for those who aren't on
like
our
that.
FaceTime right now. So yeah,
it's a not very good German beer. But there you go.
There we go.
We're talking about the new. So we have to jump on the pod. We got to get behind the sticks before we jet off, Bob, because we've got a new. Worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
Hitting the streamers.
Hands check. Hands
everyone's
check.
Talking about it.
Right,
the Beckham documentary, four-part documentary series came on Netflix, and it's blowing up. People are watching it, non-football fans, people who just like the Spice Girls. I mean, it's drawing a large audience. Directed by Fisher Stevens. This guy's legit. He won an Oscar for directing The Cove, which is a great documentary.
Love The Cove.
You might remember him from such Friends episodes as intense, creepy boyfriend of Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also in Succession. He's a Wes Anderson guy. He's been in every movie as an actor since Grand Budapest. So, I mean, it's like... he also directed Before the Flood, your boy Leo's documentary about, the environment. He's a big player in the documentary scene. Leo connected the Beckhams to this guy because they were looking for a director. And, it's instant become one of the best sports documentaries filmed. But what was your reaction? What led you to want to chat about it? I mean,
I was resistant of it at first because the people who I know that are David Beckham fans also are obnoxious David Beckham fans. That would be you in particular and the Brandon Jones, who will also be on this podcast. Very obsessive on him. And go ahead.
We got Bones coming on? What, is it,
not coming on
guest?
This, but no, he's not a surprise guest, but he's obsessed with David Beckham and obsessed with Man U. A lot of times, I don't really know a lot about European football or soccer, as it's called in different sports. I actually, real quick, and let's let the ADD take control here, I saw a meme recently of somebody that said, they were showing an NFL football field in Wembley Stadium with the USA flag, and they were like, how audacious is it that we force ourselves over to England, make them listen to a national anthem about us beating them in the Revolutionary War, and then make them watch a sport that we stole the name of their sport? That makes a lot more sense. Or anyway, I'm like paraphrasing the meme, but it was just like the audacity of NFL in Europe. I thought that was pretty funny. But
they pay out the ass to host those games, which is great because it's at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think it's like $40 million a year, and then they keep all of the concessions, which is like multiple millions a I think it's probably matches it. So that's a huge. And then I think those games are mostly for expats who are living over in
probably.
Europe. So like the game is like every single jersey.
Like random. It'll be Falcons versus Jaguars game, but you've got Cowboys and you've got Patriots and you've got 49ers. And all. It's just like a multitude of fans represented just catching in a little. Because they're transplants, but I So anyway, I mean, if the Lions play in Munich or across the pond, I think I would find that to be a really enjoyable trip to take. But I digress. I don't really know a lot about soccer, and I mostly just used it to tease you because you're very passionate about it. And so, you know, I would mock you, different times during the World Cup if the U.S. drew we've drawn with England twice now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of parachute in and tease you. That's really the extent of it. And so I didn't really want to watch it. It obviously was very popular. It was just catching a lot of momentum. I was seeing it a lot in the Gram feed and things. And I was like, this might be something to check out, to maybe podcast about. And it really did end up reminding me of another movie that we watched, Air, this year, where it kind of was starting to talk about the emergence or the merging of a sports icon with like media and kind of creating a celebrity brand. Last year, maybe a couple years ago, HBO did a documentary about Tiger Woods, and that was kind of similar. I think obviously Michael Jordan had his own documentary. I think Jordan's was more to kind of remind people of his greatness and his brand. I think it was kind of trying to rebrand himself. Remember me? Remember Scotty Pippen? I think the Beckham one is interesting because you've got documentaries out there on Tom Brady. You've got documentaries out there on Jordan and Tiger. Like, those are undeniable goats of their particular craft or career or sport. Beckham's not, like, the best soccer player. He was never the best soccer player when he was playing. I don't know what his place is in the annals of kind of soccer icons, but I'm seeing like Messi, my boy, Miami, sound the siren. You've got Pele, you've got even like within English soccer players, like his coach was kind of a bigger deal than he was. So
Hoddle.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because it just shows like he was a good soccer player. He's almost like the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in a way. Like, he was a good soccer player, but also incredibly attractive.
Troy Aikman, Super Bowl winning?
Yeah. So he was good, not great. I thought it was really interesting as well, just kind of like, I didn't know the kick. So like the first bit where it's like, oh, he hit like a goal from the 50. Like, that's pretty incredible. I didn't know that. I didn't know about the red...
That's what put him on the world stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people realized he was hot. But I was like, I didn't know about the Argentina red card. I didn't know how fucking nuts England went. Hanging nooses and shit outside of his locker room. And I don't know, there was a lot that I was kind of discovering real time. It was almost like not having any reference level to O.J. Simpson and then watching the O.J. documentary and being like, yeah. He gets away with it? Like, I was like, holy shit. So, I mean, I thought it was pretty...
They aired this live?
Yeah.
Norm Macdonald must have been having a field day with this.
Yes.
And he did.
And he did. But anyway, that's kind of my take on it. I ended up being more entertained than I thought I was. And then as soon as Tom Cruise started getting mentioned, I was like, oh
yeah.
The Hayes' load is going to come seeping under the door.
People will be slipping and they're sliding. On
the music kicks in.
Everybody's dancing. Hey. Yeah, it's kind of like a cool Cliff Notes to parachute in on and be like, oh, I get why people are into this. The drama is tantalizing and delicious, and people take this way too seriously, like all sports. But yeah, to your point, Beckham's heights are probably the 99 treble with Man United had not been repeated until Man City recently did it last year. It's a big deal, like
what
20 years.
Treble?
So winning the league, winning the FA Cup, and winning the Champions League.
So many freaking cups and leagues. But
hadn't been done since 2009. And then that was the year he's getting death threats the entire season. They win the treble, and then he's runner-up for the Ballon d'Or. I think he lost to Zidane. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. But that's kind of as far as he went. A runner-up for best in the world. He has... 109 international caps for England, which is, I believe, second to, Rooney, and a goalkeeper as well. But he's definitely up there. But his fame, his icon status, his creating a global brand. I think he was the first. He's the Michael Jordan, the Tom Brady, the Tiger Woods in that regard.
Yeah,
the
marketing aspect of it and wanting to be more than just a football player, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, without him, it's like there was, you know, Neymar, Messi, Ronaldo. Like, he kind of paved the way to just making so much more money than you do on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's his legacy, the iconography. And obviously, like, the 90s, the Spice Girls, Beckham, this attractive England captain, Man United captain, like Man U, 90s, early 2000s, for the 12 years were just like the best team, and like them and Arsenal going back and forth. Liverpool kind of faded away once Alex Ferguson joined. So it was a big deal. So Ferguson takes over of Man U when I was born in 86, and then we moved to America in 92. So that's when Beckham and Neville and Scholes all joined. And then that's when Man United becomes good from, like, you know, 92, 96 is when he kind of comes onto the scene with, like, that 60-yard goal and then the 98 World Cup. So, like, when I'm growing up, and, you know, we were going back quite a bit, like, every year, that it was, like, the Sharp era. I had all the jerseys. It was the only team you could follow in the U.S. because of the rise of Beckham. And it was the only draw. So it's not like now where Peacock and NBC, they got the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to watch soccer at all, and I was trying to keep up with it, it was just David Beckham and Man United. And then, you know, during the World Cups, you could watch those games too. So that he was the only exposure I had to something that I wanted to kind of keep up with. So that's kind of why I was initially a Beckham and a Man U fan, because of the exposure and
the
brand.
Almost like the Cubs. Like, the Cubs were a national brand, and they were seen all the time. The Cowboys were always on national TV.
Yeah,
so then
America's team, right?
Yeah,
all these Cowboys fans.
Yeah, people start just by visibility. You know, if you don't have an alliance to a team, or if you're in certain parts of the country, you just kind of, this is what I see all the time, and so you adopt that narrative. And so obviously that was part of your experience as well.
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, you know, you're growing up with this guy, your entire formative years. And then I think when he goes to Real Madrid, I found Tottenham. And, you know, my dad had recently started paying more attention to them and whatever. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
But to your point of oh, I forgot about this. Like, I forgot how big of a deal it was. Obviously, the kick against Wimbledon, that's ironclad, just like iconography, just such a big deal that put him on the scene. But then the 98 World Cup, and I forgot about this, the red card gets him sent off.
The narrative that the documentary shows you about Victoria telling him that they have their firstborn son, that she's pregnant, like the day of the match or maybe the day before the match. And it said, Do you think that, like, because he kind of makes it seem like, yeah, he was not in the right headspace for that match.
Well, that's kind of the narrative from the wedding on, where it was like this royal wedding, big thing, you know, dating a Spice Girl, being in Spice World, Alex Ferguson, you know, obviously that irked him. And then
he pissed off a lot of managers and owners for sure.
Yeah. Cause he was bigger than the team. And I mean, not him personally, but like the aura around him. I mean, you know,
even Landon Donovan got fired out.
Yeah,
Jesus the Christ. Showdown with Landon at the end of episode 4.
I know, hilarious. God,
just shave your head, Landon. You're freaking going bald, bro. You've been going
just
bald.
Just give
for
it
decades.
A rest.
God, but anyway, I digress.
No, but that's you know, the guy constantly has a lot of in his mind. But I think he's like, you know, I don't think I would have gotten through that if my dad hadn't raised me right, just by like grinding him for years as a kid, like never good enough, never good enough. So as a down-to-earth guy, kid from, you know, working class East London, it's amazing that he was able to keep his head on his shoulders and just kind of persevere amongst that crazy the shitstorm and the circus. Anytime the club went anywhere, especially, you know, when he joins Real Madrid and they do that you know, East Asia tour.
Yeah.
It's just total madness. And there's raking in cash. It's like, to be able to perform under that pressure when it was like pre-internet celebrity influencer era is kind of remarkable. And obviously it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But yeah, I think, you know, the birth of his son, he's in the World Cup. It's like, you know, they have to beat Argentina, one of their huge rivalries. You know, the Falkland Islands thing had just happened. There was like, it's you know, it's like Russia, Ukraine playing each other. I mean, that would be insane.
Yeah.
And then you see the red card. It's barely anything. The guy's like, oh, yeah, I totally took a dive. It was not a red card whatsoever. And then I was not aware of the vitriol and, like, the complete disgusting behavior of the entire country looks terrible in that cut. We're just a whole year of just riding this guy, whereas you have a pretty similar experience with Rooney and Ronaldo in the World Cup in, was it 08 or something, where he gets a red card. He's sent off just before the penalty kicks. But people don't ride him. They're like, Ronaldo was baiting the ref to give him a red. And so I think maybe the public has maybe learned their lesson, or maybe they're just less assholes these days. But it's such a similar, and I had no idea that it happened with Beckham, or I forgot about it, where the effigies and like just people hating him and hating him. And I mean, you can hate Man United because they were the best team, but I think the only people that come off looking good is Man United fans that whole season. Mm-hmm. Just it's completely absurd, the death threats. And it's kind of happening now with this guy, Harry Maguire, who's lost his place at Man United. And then people are just like riding him every game. And Beckham's actually reached out to Maguire to offer his consultancy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it likens, it feels like history repeats itself a lot. Like, it reminds me of the Bartman scapegoat with the Cubs. And I mentioned the Cubs
100%.
Earlier. But it's like, you've got to blame somebody. And it was interesting to me when they were showing kind of the unraveling, like when his celebrity takes off and they're showing kind of either Man U losing or they start to show Real Madrid losing, and the clips, like, Beckham's not even in the shot. It's just shots of the defense letting up goals, and then it like cuts to like Beckham in, like, Beckham was a midfielder, right? He was like a center mid, or he was like, it's like, what, all the
he played on the right wing.
But all the goal they're showing, like, you know, goal, oh, Madrid's down 4-0, and I'm like, well, like, Beckham's one guy. There's a whole army of players here. The goalie's out of position. I was like, this, it's weird. Like, it's not like in baseball where, like, you're watching, like, someone strike out or someone let up a home run. It's like, it's the jazz of a sport like soccer. It's like, it's hard. Can you really blame the team falling apart on Beckham? And I get it, like, if he gets sent off in a World Cup with a red card, it puts the team at a disadvantage for the remainder of the match, but then it goes to penalties. Like,
they still had a chance to win. Like, probably the saddest penalty kicks I've ever seen taken.
So I'm just like, how is that 100% Beckham's fault to where, terrible, you know? So anyway, but I think sports fans get, obviously, it's fan for fanatic. It's short for fanatic. And I think people naturally don't want to blame the entire team. They want a scapegoat. And so it's easy just to point at that guy. And, you know, so to me, that was interesting. And then also, I thought...
Yeah, it'd be like Valeni going after Campbell after the Seahawks loss, and, you know, people kind of going nuts about that.
Guy's going for it on a fourth down in his own territory with 4-point lead.
Needs to be held accountable. Fire up.
Anyway, get it back on the rails here. I ended up really sympathizing for Victoria Beckham. And kind of, especially when he is making major family decisions without consulting her until, like, she's, like, finding out in the press that he's going to AC Milan. Or she's, like, finding out in the press about these things. Or, like, she's about to go have a C-section. And, I mean, think about, like, the public scrutiny and like, just the shit-talking. Like, she bared a lot of the brunt of that without getting a lot of the benefits of some of that. And it's, I think, the Beyonce J-Lo photo shoot the day his daughter is born. And it's just like, he really acted selfishly in a lot of different ways. And
Guy was desperate to continue to play for England as long as he could.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, like, the 2006 World Cup in Germany was such a huge disappointment. Like, this totally stacked team that just couldn't do anything. And you're like, we gotta keep going with it. And so he was desperate to make the 2010 team. And that's, so, you know, and then he goes to LA as a family decision, right? Let's get out of this fucking madness of Spain. The whole thing with the, you know, the infidelity, the affair with his assistant.
Which he basically all but admitted in its own ways.
Yeah.
It was the hardest time in our family. Like, if he didn't do it, he would be using the documentary, pounding the table, saying, I didn't step up.
No, he was just like, it was a hard time. I'm not sure how we get through it. It was pretty much him
admitting
to it. But yeah, you know, just so they leave England, they leave Spain, they go to LA, but he's like, fuck, this league blows. I'm playing in NFL stadiums. You can still see the yard signs. Like, what have I done? So that's him being like, this was, and Victoria loved LA. You know, I mean, the family, the schools. He's like,
she could go out to dinner, and as long as Tom Cruise was there, she wasn't the most popular person in town. Hands check.
That's why. Beckham and the Cruises, the welcome party. So yeah, they talked about it like, oh, it was kind of it was cool to be in LA, and, like, you know, they could go out to dinner, and, like, the Beckhams weren't that big of a, they weren't a big of a draw as, you know, Tom Cruise is walking into this other restaurant. Who cares where the Beckhams are eating? So I think she loved it, but he's like, I still have so much to give, getting restless, wanted to go one more round because 2006 was so disappointing. And the 2010 World Cup was even worse. So I'm glad he actually tore his Achilles and didn't have to play in that one. That's when we drew U.S. But it's hard because you can see the drive and you know he's still got it because he's still playing at a really high level. He goes to MLS a little bit too early, and he's there for like 4 or 5 years. And every single – he's constantly going to AC Milan on loan. He's training with Tottenham. He was, like, constantly back and forth to, like, stay in top shape. And then he tears his Achilles, and it's all over.
Yeah,
and then he gives them two full seasons, and they win the MLS Cup the last 2 years. But, yeah, you can see the back and forth of, like, the trying to make it up to his family for all the stuff in England and Spain, and then also just being completely unsatisfied with where he's ended up.
Mm-hmm.
is wild. And then I just think the documentary did a really nice job in terms of how they cut it, how it was, the editing of all the clips, and then the narrative, and kind of seeing them in their space. Beckham's man cave, you know, those that stuff. I think
What about the little bit where she's trying to talk about how they both came from working class families, and he's like, "Don't lie, tell him what kind of car you rode to school in.
Be honest.
Be honest."
So my dad had a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, which is Rolls Royce is that's not just like a Bentley, like
no,
that's like Grey Poupon level rich person.
That's what the Queen drives around. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to learn what her explanation was, because he's like, one word answer. What car did your dad have? And she's like, well, it's a tricky question. It's bubble. But I was like, I kind of wanted to hear.
Yeah,
her reason was.
Like actually, let me hear the context. Like how can it be misunderstood any other way besides we were rich?
Yeah, I know. Like you don't just have a Rolls Royce. I mean that there's I don't know how else. So I'm kind of. We missed out on that, but I was interested to learn this. So you know, Beckham was a producer on this. You know, he's the one shopping it around, trying to get directors on board. He actually gave up Final Cut to the director. So he, you know, I think they met. I think something like they spent 40 hours together in the course of filming. And the, you know, the first interviews were all tossed out, but you start to see him opening up. It gets pretty emotional with him and Victoria. You know, stuff that they haven't even talked about for a while. I think a lot of the stuff in Spain was a pretty heavy part of the documentary. But I think they did a great job of getting honest interviews out of these people. The fact that he was able to go hands-off and kind of trust this American director who didn't know a ton about soccer and was doing, like, environmental documentaries.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool how it all came together, and I think they pulled it off really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time sometimes with the producers of a narrative also being the centerpiece of the narrative. It's hard for me.
Yeah.
Like the Jordan thing we've talked about before, but I don't look at that as a documentary at all. That's a 8-hour Nike commercial, and he works really hard to try to reinforce narratives that, and obviously they weren't going to ask him any hard questions about his dad, because there's all these theories about Jordan's dad, and you know the mob. They barely talk about his gambling. You know, they talk about how he goes to Vegas, but it doesn't really get into any sort of honest conversation. I ate a bad pizza and I had the flu. Like it was just like a lot. Like you were never going to get an alternative point of view. And so
they don't show too many warts.
Yeah. And so like, I don't look at that as an honest documentary. This one was closer to it. I mean, it's still produced by Beckham, but I think it does a better job of showing some warts, and kind of being a little more honest. I didn't learn anything from the Jordan documentary that I didn't already know. But I did learn.
I think you get a better sense of empathy with this one.
Yes, I agree. Mean, absolutely agree.
Whether or not that's manufactured or not, the clips are there. You know what I mean? Like that stuff happened. This guy hung an effigy of Beckham in front of his place and didn't think it was a big deal.
I definitely agree in that space. And I also thought that just stylistically, I appreciated it more. Like some of the shots of him watching, they had almost like a dissolved look of him watching some of his old footage. And you could tell like he's like literally watching that clip as we're watching it. I thought that was actually pretty skillfully done.
I meant to bring that up. I thought that was a cool part of filmmaking where you put them looking right down the barrel, and then somehow they're able to, you know, instead of looking at a camera lens, they're looking at clips.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, every single time you just see these footballers, just their eyes light up and they're like, oh yeah, now we're playing. And like, oh, I remember this moment. I mean, the free kick against Greece is one of the most legendary moments. Certainly in England, that his redemption. I just thought that was they built that up. I was kind of wondering how they're gonna build that in, and then it's kind of lame that like one of the biggest moments in English football is a guy scoring to tie a game against Greece, who's not a major player. I mean, they won the Euros when they hosted it, which is a big deal, and but it's like it's a tie game and it's like one of the biggest moments. But it was, it's like this super electric moment where if he doesn't score that goal in the final seconds of the game, they miss out on the World Cup.
Yeah, that was cool.
You have to wait. So
yeah, I mean, I thought overall, I feel like I learned about him. I obviously didn't have a great reference level to him besides teasing him about you and knowing that he's super hot. Probably the hottest athlete that's ever been around. Maybe Brady. Tiger Woods, not super sexy. Michael Jordan, not super sexy. LeBron James, don't get me started. Speaking of shave your head balls, please. Bald, please. yeah. But anyway, yeah, I mean, guy is like just a straight up supermodel and was also 100%. Also pretty good at soccer, even though he's not probably in the top 10. My only other criticism of it was I was borderline offended that they didn't mention bend him like Beckett. Or bend it like Beckham. I was a little offended that, yeah, where's my girl?
Little Keira Knightley?
Where's Keira?
Little Keira Knightley in there.
What, you can't interview Keira for a second?
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that movie because it's the title, obviously, Bend It Like Beckham, because that was at the height of his fame, his Creed kicks and all that. But it's about like a girls' Indian soccer club. I actually haven't watched that or thought about it in a long time. But I mean, that's just, it goes to show, you know, it's like the Spice Girls getting their own movie.
Yeah.
It's like brand Beckham. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, but I mean, that's honestly like Brecken's going to end up watching this documentary and we were talking about it. And it is one of those things. It's a little bit like Taylor Swift and Kelsey.
Mara's
but
tour?
Yeah, well, no, just the combination of things that kind of bring people from different ends of the newspaper together, you know? And so it's like, you know, you've got the Spice Girls or like the posh Spice people, but then you've got the David Beckham people, and it really kind of, that's what makes a universal event, right? And so it's like, there's all this stuff where sports meets pop culture, and like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are obviously the current example of that, but I think this documentary, people will find it, different people of different interests will find it, which is also cool.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, do you think people are putting up with the soccer history just to get to like the tidbits about their back page tabloid lifestyle?
Yeah. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I would give anything to have David Beckham's wardrobe. I'll tell you that much right now.
Okay.
All the short shirts, little, you know, placed.
Oh, yeah.
All the suits. His rack of clothes laid out for the week.
Lovely rack of clothes. So I have, do you have time before we go? This might be a separate ditty that we edit into a separate one. But rapid fire, Matt Hayes, David Beckham versus Tom Cruise questionnaire. Do you have time for this? Do you have maybe 2 minutes?
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Okay.
I think you're overstating my Tom Cruise affinity.
No, I am not. So
here's the deal with Tom Cruise. I want to be him. I don't know that I want his lifestyle. I don't know that I revere him as a man. like, I don't think I want to hang out with him. David Beckham, I've met 3 times, and it's been like the thrill of my life. When I waited on him at a restaurant. This was in 2015, and I was like, hey, I just want to say like a huge fan. In 2009, I got to see you get the outfield cap record when you faced Slovakia.
Yeah.
Guy's been super nice every time I've met him. Another restaurant in LA. After the meal, he was waiting in the elevator to kind of like our service elevator to have me come in and say, hey, thank you so much. You took care of me and my family. Good to see you again.
That's cool.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Nicest guy ever.
Stop harassing this man during meals. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Hang on. Right, did he sign your stream? Anyway.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
It's me.
Hey,
sign this. Anyway, for the longtime listener. So, this is rapid fire. You can't take more than 2 seconds to answer any of these questions. Most of them are yes or no. Please, and we're going to cue the dramatic game show music. So I'm going to cue the music here. And please put your hand on the Good Will Hunting script, a.k.a. our Bible. Please put your hand on the Good Will Hunting script. State your name.
I got it right here.
State your name.
Matt Hayes.
Year of birth?
86.
Okay. Here comes your first question. Have you ever seen a Tom Cruise movie at midnight?
Yes.
Have you ever had an erection watching a Tom Cruise movie or a David Beckham soccer game?
No.
Don't lie! Your hand is on the Bible!
Although Tom Cruise is surrounded by a lot of attractive ladies in those movies.
Okay.
Maybe just a little. Okay.
All right. Have you ever had sex while watching a David Beckham game or a Tom Cruise movie?
A Tom Cruise movie, yes.
Okay. Best Tom Cruise performance?
Top Gun Maverick.
Best David Beckham performance?
The Game Against Greece.
Worst Tom Cruise performance?
Tropic Thunder.
Worst David Beckham performance?
The 2007, his first season with the LA Galaxy.
Who is sexier, Tom Cruise or David Beckham?
David Beckham.
Who is most underrated, Tom Cruise or David Beckham?
David Beckham.
Okay. Finally, whose life do you want more, David Beckham or Tom Cruise?
That is really hard.
That's what she said.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise over David Beckham, ladies and gentlemen. The man says that he is not that we were under... overestimating his Tom Cruise passion, yet he chooses a life, his life, over soccer glory Victoria Beckham.
I mean, other than the jumping up and down on the Oprah couch, like the... All right, I wouldn't want to be a Scientologist.
Fair.
I would want to film Mission Impossible movies and Top Gun movies as opposed to... Man, being a soccer star married to Victoria Beckham is pretty sweet. That's a tough call.
That's your answer. That was your answer. It is what it is. Tough call. But thank you for playing. Thank you for playing and telling us the honest answers. And I think a lot of listeners are going to want some tell me mores and some probing questions around the event of you having sex during the Tom Cruise movie.
It was recent. It was Top Gun Maverick.
You don't have to tell any. You don't have to say.
It was the eighth time I've seen the movie, so I was... All right, let's do this.
Well, I'm happy for you, buddy.
Yeah, it was during that Lady Gaga, the sailing scene. Just gets you fired up, man. David Beckham, Tom Cruise, Bourdain, and then I guess if you'll give me James Bond as a character,
yeah,
I think that would be my guys, you know, Rushmore.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank
I can make
you
a case
playing.
For Tom DeLonge, but yeah, no, it was fun.
There. Well, with that said, thank you all for listening. I hope you guys enjoy your streaming. Give it a stream. Sign my stream.
Give it a stream.
Smash the subscribe button. Leave us a comment if you want.
We'll see you in Vegas, bud.
We'll see you in Vegas, and we'll see you down the road.
Down the road.
Bye.